Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. You're listening to What to Read Next podcast, episode 48. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. This podcast is hosted by Laura Amin, a voracious reader of romance and young adult novels. In this podcast, Laura interviews fellow readers and authors and asks them for book recommendations of what we should read next. We hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the show, guys. So happy to have you here. Before we get to today's book recommendation, I want to share a bit about my current go-to subscription box, which is Book of the Month. Book of the Month costs $14.95 and shipping is included. For $14.95, you have access to one book pick per month, and you can always add an extra for $9.95. These are hardcover new release novels, which is a great deal. Sometimes you have access to books the week, few weeks before it's being released, or even a month before it's released, which is pretty awesome. The books I picked this month is Goodbye Paris, which is a quirky novel set in Paris, and since I've been a historical fiction kind of kick thanks to Next Year in Havana and The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, I picked The Air You Breathe, which is set in Brazil. Here's the thing, if you don't like the options for the month, you can always skip the month. If you're interested in signing up for Book of the Month as an introductory offer, they will give you two books for the price of one, which is a pretty awesome deal. All you have to do is go to whattoreadnextblog.com/bookofthemonth. Now let's get today's book recommendations. Our guest today is Tina, the blogger and bookstagrammer behind TBR, etc. This episode is chock full of recommendations for psychological thrillers, historical fiction, nonfiction, and some literary fiction. Now let's get today's show. Hi, Tina. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us who you are.
All right. Well, I'm Tina. I am a blogger and a bookstagrammer. And it's called TBR, etc. So that's how you pronounce it. But if you were to look me up on Instagram, it kind of looks like a weird word, like tuberec or something, but it's actually supposed to be pronounced as TBR, etc. And it's because TBR stands for To Be Read. So I wanted it to be a book recommendation podcast, but I added etc. because I want to kind of keep it open to talking about other things, not necessarily related to books.
I love it. So what inspired you to start this blog?
You know, I am so glad I came across. I got a doctorate and I had just finished my dissertation. So I was kind of looking to continue writing. I was worried that if I didn't, I don't know, I was so used to writing for this dissertation that had taken over my life that I wanted to see if I could write something that was a little bit more creative. So I stumbled across Bookstagram. I can't remember exactly where or how, but I thought, how cool would it be to be able to, I just didn't know it was a thing that people take pictures of their books and talk about books online. So yeah, I kind of started the two of those at the same time. And it's been really fun.
And what has been your biggest aha moment from the Bookstagram community or for book blogging?
Yeah, so the biggest aha moment, I think it was that I am creative. I thought for a very long time that I'm better at more technical writing or kind of research papers, that sort of thing. I didn't really see myself as creative. I knew I was a huge reader. I've always been a speed reader or read a ton of books a year, but I think kind of forcing myself to put myself out there and I really, really enjoy taking pictures and writing these posts. So I think for me personally, that was kind of the biggest aha moment, the biggest eye opener. But also I really liked that there are so many other readers out there. It's really cool to just kind of connect with people that I never would have come across before, to fangirl about books or to, you know, complain about books that didn't end the way that we thought they should. So I think it's been really fun to talk to readers that I don't necessarily know in real life.
I know. I love about the Bookstagram community, especially where you can connect about different things. You know, you get book ideas, but also fangirl about the books that you're like reading. You're like, oh my God, I need to talk to someone about this book.
Yes.
You know,
exactly. I get a ton of ideas from Bookstagram, like, okay, what are people reading? And you start to almost see, you know the certain people you follow and their tastes. And I'm like, okay, perfect. If this person likes it, I'm going to pick it up because I know we tend to like the same thing.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, that's the main one. You know, I think it's like being able to get, you know, some of the popular books and being like, is this something that I like or something I don't like? And then knowing another person likes it or another person has some opinions about it, then it makes me intrigued to pick it up. Or maybe say, you know what, I'm going to skip it because this person did not like it.
Right. Yeah. And that's another thing too. It kind of helps you finesse or tailor your ever-growing to-be-read pile. It's been fun.
So what would you share with someone who's thinking of starting to join the bookstagram community and starting out?
Oh, good question. So just basically jump in. I am not in publishing. I think I thought when I first started, I'm like, how do these folks have all this time or these books? Like, where did they get this idea from? And I thought many of them worked in publishing or, you know, as authors or whatever, but it's really just a bunch of quote unquote regular people who want to talk about books in reading. So I would say jump in. It's a really nice community. The biggest thing I think that helped me get and maintain consistency was joining challenges. So there are certain accounts that do monthly challenges. The one that I used to follow a lot was called Grim Dragon. And so basically every month they would come out and say, okay, here's some prompts for 31 days of book pictures. And it's cool. You don't have to follow it as closely as I thought. And it just really was a great way to help me be consistent. Another thing is if a person wants to start Bookstagram, and I think this is with a lot of things, even a blog, but it's to be authentic, you know, be yourself, make genuine comments and genuinely interact with other people on the platform. Sometimes you get those Autobots that reply, great content. And you can kind of tell it's not a real person behind it. I would say it's not all about the numbers. I know it can get frustrating if you make this really great post and it doesn't get seen as much as you'd hoped, but I found that I started to enjoy it more when I stopped worrying about how many followers I had and kind of growing and just enjoyed pictures and took pictures that I liked taking. And then the last one, my big, you'll see this a lot, but it's good lighting. Natural lighting is huge. It's key. No amount of editing can really, I guess, replace good lighting. There's some folks on Bookstagram that are really, really good at editing, which is not me, but, I can always find a good light source. And I think that helps make a photo look better.
Yeah. Yeah. I think natural lighting is the key, you know.
For sure.
Awesome. Thank you for the suggestions. I'm definitely going to be applying some of them. I'm definitely looking at reading challenges to be something that I may add on to my own Bookstagram, you know, experience.
It's fun. You should. Yeah. It's definitely fun. There's tons out there. There's some fantasy related, some YA. I mean, some are just more general, but I used to participate in a lot of them. And I think that really helped me figure out who I am as a, bookstagrammer, but also blogger and helped me get consistent. I think that's another tip too, is be consistent with it. I think I post every day, once a day, and I've been doing that now for like a year and a half. And it's kind of like a streak now. I'm like, okay, I got to get some post out there. And it helps me read different books, like think about different things that I do want to feature on the account too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it pushes me to read physical books. That's what I noticed for me in my experience with Bookstagram, is that I tend to, for the past couple of years, I read a lot of ebooks, but they don't photograph well. So I started getting involved with Bookstagram, I was like, well, I need books to take pictures on. So it pushed me to library or even buy more books.
That's a really good point. And yeah, I know when I started, I guess I have a really old picture of my old bookshelf, and it had like, I don't know, 20 to 40 books on there, not a ton. And now I'm actually staring at all my books right now because I'm redoing my shelves and they're all on the floor in various book stacks. And it's so cool to see how much I've been able to grow my collection over the past couple of years. And yeah, that's another thing too. Even if you do, if you're fortunate enough to get books sent to you or, what have you, I still want to support the authors and the publishers that I love. So I do still try and collect, I have certain authors that I want to collect all their books and yeah, I still do find myself purchasing quite a few books each month.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. How are you organizing your reading shelf?
Oh, well, right now they are in they are in different stacks organized by spine color. So I'm going to do rainbow on my, yeah, on my bookshelf. And I know this is a very, it's a hot topic. I know some people do it by alphabetical order, by author's last name. Some do it by genre, but I just love the way it looks with a rainbow bookshelf. I think it's so pretty. So that's what I'm doing.
I love it.
And I'm also doing something really nerdy. There's this app called Library Thing, and it basically allows you to scan the book's ISBN number, and it kind of allows you to keep a digital archive of the books that you have in your collection. So that way, if you're ever like, okay, I know I have a couple ton of French books, but not all of them, which ones am I missing? Now I'll have it with me on this app. So I'm also scanning them.
What's the name of the app again?
The app is called Library Thing.
Oh, okay. It's in the show notes, and I'm definitely downloading after we talk.
Definitely do. It's fun. And it just really is kind of a way to keep track of the books that you've either read, or for me, you can use it a lot of different ways, but I like it to keep track of the books that I physically own. And mm-hmm. I have it grouped by books in my home library, books to read, and then books read.
Ooh, yeah, I love it. So then you can just know what your TBR file looks like.
Exactly. And I definitely want to know how many books I own. So I'm very interested to see the final results.
I love it. So let's talk about your reading life. So when do you read?
I read always. I think there's some Stephen King quote that I really like. And it's basically you have to train yourself to read in sips as well as long gulps. And, you know, that's kind of how I do it. I was, you know, if I'm at the grocery store or I'm commuting, I'm at home, whatever, I'm always trying to have either an audiobook that I'm listening to, or else usually I always have a book with me, whether it's a physical book or just on my Kindle app on my phone. I'm always reading at least two books, sometimes more.
I love it. Yeah, I read multiple books and I read all the time. So I read
How many books do you read a year typically?
I'm reading about three books at a time. And I read about 2 to 3 books a week.
Oh, wow. Okay. I think I'm about a book a week, maybe 2 books a week, depending. I don't know. I think I'm going to read about 70 books this year or something like that.
That's awesome. Yeah. I read, last year I read a book almost every day. So that was intense.
Awesome. That is
intense.
That is intense.
Yeah, so I decreased my stay, like the amount of books that I read. Things changed. Like I have more responsibilities. I got a job that doesn't allow me to read at the work. I can do audiobooks, but they're not my preferred method. There's different things that happen, and just it made me kind of like decrease. And also, I've been looking at different genres. There are genres that I can consume a book really easily in a sitting, and then mm-hmm. the genres are just like it takes a while to consume the book.
You're right, and that's so it's important to me too, and that's one of my reading goals. Is I'm so tempted by the thrillers and kind of the newest book that's coming out from a favorite author. I could read those, like you said, in a day, but there are also, it's important to me to read widely. I want to read books by authors of color, female authors, just authors from different backgrounds than I am necessarily. And sometimes those do take me a little bit longer, but I really want to, I want to focus on that. I don't want to just have, you know, a 70 books a year, all psychological thrillers kind of from the same type of author. So mm-hmm. yeah, there are definitely some books that do take a little bit longer. I think I just want to focus more on them. You know, I'm kind of reading for entertainment, but also to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you love most about reading?
Oh, that's a good question too. It's entertainment. It's how I get joy. I love to read about, I think I'm more of a character driven reader. I love to, if there's a strong protagonist, chances are I'm going to enjoy the book to a certain extent. And I just love to kind of My favorite is when I'm reading a book and I'm like, oh, wow, this is making me realize something about my own life. Like, it feels like the author really gets me in a way that I don't necessarily get from TV or movies or anything mm-hmm. else. You know, it really just, I don't know, it broadens my mind, I guess.
Yeah. What would you like your reading life to be different?
What would I like? So I think I own a lot of books. I'm working on building my collection of books from own voices authors or diverse authors. But I think I want to focus, I think, more on reading authors of color, but also contemporary books that have staying power. I hate when I think of a title and I'm like, which one was that? Was that the one where the guy did this? Is it when he did that or whatever? I love contemporary. That's my most favorite genre probably, but I do want to work on finding those books that in a couple of years, I'm going to be like, oh, I remember that book that was, you know, came out in 2018. That was wonderful, you know, to kind of stick with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the key. I think about like some of the books that I read, I consume and I forget about the book afterwards, mm-hmm. but then I'm like staying power. And that's where like right now I'm reading less, but I'm reading books that are long lasting books that I remember or books that are connected mm-hmm. to something closer to what the genre is or what the story looks like or the characters or something I can remember for.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I'm also working on two nonfiction. I do read a little bit of nonfiction, but there's so many great books coming out. I started Just Mercy very recently. Have you heard of Just Mercy? Yeah, it's super cool. It's really sad, actually. It's Just Mercy. It's by this author, Brian Stevenson. And basically, he is a lawyer that did a lot of work on individuals on death row. And it just talks about, you know, people of color and the disproportionate amount of certain individuals that are incarcerated for lesser crimes. But anyway, it's a really powerful book. And I think in my head, if I'm like, oh, I'm going to read for entertainment, I always gravitate toward fiction. But this book is as entertaining and as moving as any, you know, fiction book I've read. So I think that's something else I want to focus on.
I love it. So now we're going to talk about books and book recommendations. Great. So what is your go-to genre?
My go-to genre is psychological thrillers. I want books to get weird. I want to be surprised. I love a twist. I am also the type of reader that cannot see anything coming. I don't know what it is, but typically I am almost always unable to guess the ending. So I love when books get very complicated, and then when the author is able to bring it all together, that's my favorite.
I love it. What are your top three favorite books of all time?
So my top three favorite books, oddly, are not psychological thrillers, but they are The Heart's Invisible Furies by John Boyne. Okay. The Stand by Stephen King, and then Dark Matter by Blake Crouch.
I love it. You know, the John Boyne's book has been mentioned a couple of times, and I have yet to read it. So I heard it's wonderful. And it's a book of the month, so I may just pick it up next month.
Yes, that's where I got it was from book of the month last year. I would recommend, I also got it on audio because it's very long. So I find for me, if a book is longer, I like to listen to it on audio just so I'm not carrying around this, you know, 500 page book. Mm-hmm. Also, it's set, The Heart's Invisible Furies is set in Ireland. So the narrator has an Irish accent when he's reading the book. So that really helped kind of set the setting for me.
Okay. Maybe I'll pick it up as audiobook. I think that may be the way
to give it a go.
So who are your go-to authors? Which authors are your autobuy?
Oh, okay. Autobuy authors. I have a lot. I love Mary Kubica. Okay. John Green, B.A. Paris, Lisa Jewell, Tana French, Stephen King. Off the top of my head, those are the authors that I probably, no matter what they come out with, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be trying to get that book. Stephen King, though, is tough because he's got such a huge collection, obviously, but all the most recent ones I have been working on getting.
I love it. And what was, how was Lisa Jewell's last book? Because I actually own it, but I have yet to read it. So I'm curious to hear.
It was so good. You know, I gotta tell you, it is one of my favorites of the year. It's called, and then She Was Gone. Oh, it was so good. It was about a young girl basically disappears and is gone without a trace. And it's kind of it's told in a flashback and flash forward from the mother's perspective, and then you flash back to the girl to find out what really happened. It was wonderful. Lisa Jewell is such an incredible author, and she's really good at crafting those stories that I like, with complicated characters, very strong women. And it's kind of that storyline that I'm like, nope, you're not going to be able to tie this up, but she somehow makes it work. So I would definitely recommend it. It was Then She Was Gone.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, it's going to be in my TBR for October. Because my two are so seems like a perfect psychological thriller for October. I think I'm just gonna do psychological thrillers in October.
I love that idea. It's a great month for that type of just dark and moody book. I think I have a couple that I want to get to this year for that month as well.
I love it. Favorite books in 2018 so far.
Oh, okay. So my favorite book, I actually read, I think it was the first or second book I read this year. It was it was called An American Marriage, which mm-hmm. is everywhere. Hopefully I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yep.
It was incredible. Loved that one so much. And I love to, like, in my brain, I feel so superior because I read it before it was Oprah's book pick or book club pick. So I feel so good about it. But that was number one. Well, one of my favorites. I also loved a book called The Hunger.
Okay.
And have you heard of that one?
No, I have not. What is it about?
So The Hunger was really good. It is by Alma Katz. Sue is the author, and it is a book about the Donner Party. So, you know that computer game called The Oregon Trail?
Yeah.
You ever heard of that? Yeah, okay. So it's basically pioneer days. Individuals took their whole family and went into these different wagons and oxen and everything and just traveled west, basically. Mm-hmm. So this one's a fictionalized account of a real family. There was this party called the Donner Party, and I cannot remember the specifics about how many people were on this party, but almost all of them died on their way to California. And so this book just basically talks about the real people that were involved in it, but it gives it a fictionalized account. It was so dark and so dirt, like, oh, but it was so good. That would be a good one for October as well. So that one's The Hunger by Alma Katsu. And then my other favorite, I love true crime. And so this one kind of goes along with that. It's called I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara.
This is a Golden State Killer, correct?
It is. Well, yes, it is. It's the Golden State Killer one. And this is another one I read early in the year. And like a couple weeks later, the man got caught. So it was just such I will never forget reading this book, because when the author wrote it, she died before it could be published. And I think a lot of the facts that she uncovered and all of the connections she was making really helped lead to the actual capture of this man. So it was really, it was a great book, but that added kind of real life element really, really made it to my top three list for me.
Yeah. And that's I heard that's a creepy book that you don't want to
see. Oh yeah. Yeah. You don't want to read it alone. You definitely want to lock your doors, lock your windows. It was well done though. And it was very respectful. It was not exploited. She didn't exploit the victims or, like, you know, kind of really be dramatic about it. It was a very, very well done book.
Okay. That's really good to hear. Yeah. I've heard it. It's been mentioned on the podcast before. And it was mentioned, it was like, I didn't sleep at night. It was like, okay.
I'm really good at compartmentalizing. Like, I could read the most crazy stuff and be like, okay, I'm still okay. But even so, I think that's why this book was so creepy, is because it was so subtle. It was real things that happened, and you could see it happening in your own neighborhood. You know, that's how subtle it was. So anyway, it was a wonderful book.
That's really good to hear. So what's been the most anticipated release for 2018 or 2019 that you're looking forward to?
So I am, Tana French is coming out with a new book. It's called The Witch Elma. And have you read any Tana French before?
No. So tell me about her work.
So she is, it's kind of like a crime fiction, almost mystery type author. She is Irish. And the she's got a series called the Dublin Murder Squad series. And basically, what's really cool, it's not like a trilogy, or a group of books where it's the same characters every single book. She creates this murder squad, and they're basically investigators, and they investigate different crimes, but it's different characters from book to book. So it's really interesting. And this book that she's coming out with in October is, I think it's her first standalone. So yeah, I'm excited for that.
Oh, that was exciting. Awesome. May check it out. So what's the most disappointed read?
Oh, this one I have thoughts on, I have feelings on, and I really hope that people can, you know, find me on Instagram or something and tell me if they loved it, because the book that most disappointed me recently was called When the Lights Go Out by Mary Kubica. It's her most recent book. Have you read anything by her? She's another psychological thriller.
I read Good Girl. Is that the one?
Yes, that one. Exactly. The Good Girl. That one was, I think it was her first. That one was my favorite. I loved it. And so ever since then, I read her book every year. She seems to come out with one almost every year. But this one, her most recent, I think it comes out, I want to say this week. And I had an advanced reader copy of it. So I was super excited. And I don't want to, you know, spoil specifics about the book. But yeah, the ending has one of those tropes that I hate. I guess I should leave it at that. But the ending was what made me, the book was so good until the very end, like the last 10%. I was like, what? So yeah, that's the one that I was most recently disappointed by.
I hear you. I actually have a physical advanced careers copy because I got it from BEA. So
nice. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I may pick it up. I may read it and see if I actually
should be
disappointed or not.
Read it and like tell me if I'm crazy. I haven't, it hasn't come out yet, so I haven't heard a ton of people talk about it. So I definitely, it's a beautiful cover and I loved reading it. It was just the ending. I'm like, what? It ruined it for me. So if you read it, let me know.
I will.
I have to talk to people about this.
I definitely let you know. Yeah, that's what this community is all about. It's like talking about our books. So.
Yes. And it's okay. I think it's okay to be disappointed by your favorite authors. You know, it may not have been the book for me right now. It's not a bad book, but you know, there was a couple pieces I was like, no. So
what book should my listeners pick up right now and add to their TBR?
Oh, you know, I think I talked about this one already a little bit, but it's that The Hunger by Alma Katsu. That would be my recommendation. It's not a psychological thriller. It's almost oddly historical fiction, because again, these are real people. So I found myself desperately wanting to figure out, you know, Google these people that actually existed and figure out who survived and what happened. It was very dark, a little grisly at times, but also a very wonderful character study. She gave these characters, these real people, such vivid personalities. I loved it. And I think it's one that a lot of people would like, and I haven't seen a ton about it. So I think that would be my recommendation.
I love it. Tell us where we can find you online.
All right. So yeah, online I'm basically TBRETC everywhere. So that's TBR, et cetera, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and then my website is TBRETC.com.
I love it. Thank you so much, Tina, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
Thank you, Tina, for a great show. For show notes and a list of books mentioned in this podcast and an opportunity to share your own psychological thriller recommendations, come on over to the blog at whattoreadnextblog.com. Now I want your help to grow this podcast, and it only takes 2 minutes of your time, and you'll be eligible to win a $20 Amazon gift card. All you have to do is log into iTunes or Apple Podcasts and leave a short review of the podcast. That's the best way for this podcast to get discovered by new audiences. Thank you so much for your support and listening to this podcast. I hope you have a fantastic day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.